Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Have you heard about the group of Christians in this community that's not at all like the denominations that are so often encountered? Some have wondered about this difference, and they've even remarked about it. This group is different in a number of ways, but time certainly permits us to only consider a few of these, and then only briefly. First of all, we're different in attitude toward the Bible. These Christians believe the Bible to be inspired, infallible, complete, authoritative Word of God, and that the New Testament is the final expression of that word. This faith is based upon such scriptures as 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, that the church is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and completely and truly equipped unto all good works. Like in 2 Peter chapter 1, that it pertains all things unto life and godliness. And truly, if we speak, we need to speak as the oracles of God. But do not all Protestant denominations believe that as well? There was a time when they did, but now many of them will tell you unhesitatingly that they no longer do so. Even those denominations which are known as fundamentalists are guilty of dividing the commandments of God into the essential and into the non-essential commands. So this, in effect, nullifies the authority of the Scriptures because it lets every man decide for himself what's essential and what's not. But not these Christians. They believe that man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4 and verse 4. Is this what you believe? And then, too, they're different in attitude toward how to become a Christian. Since their faith in the Scriptures is such that it will not allow them to divide the commandments of Christ into the essential and the non-essential commands, this group of Christians insist that because every man has sinned and separated himself from God, man's only hope of benefiting from the blood of Christ is to do all that Christ has commanded men to do in order to reap these benefits. We know from Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So we see then, this of course involves us to have faith in Christ as the Son of God. We note from such passages as what we read in John chapter 8, notice what we read in verse 24. It says, "Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." A little bit later on, we find in the 20th chapter of the book of John, these words in verse 30. He says, Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. And then, of course, it was Jesus that said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But since the scripture says that our faith avails only when it works by love, as in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, we find that they also, these Christians, repent of their sins. They confess with their mouth what they believe in their heart, and gladly obey the command of Christ to be baptized, that is, to be immersed. We know that we're to have not just only faith, for we read in the book of James in chapter 2, notice what we read in verse 24. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So yes, it takes faith. Faith is essential. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. But faith is not the only thing that Christ or God requires of us. We must also do the things that God commands us to do. We must work the works of God in order to be saved. And so then that involves repentance. That's why Peter, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, in giving answer to their question of men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We're told in Acts 17 and verse 30 that the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Certainly we need to confess with our mouth. That's what we see the Ethiopian doing when Philip preached unto him Jesus in Acts chapter 8. It's in verse 37 that he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's why we have the passage in the book of Romans, in the 10th chapter of that book. Let's notice, begin reading verse 9. If we confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we see, again, confession. We see what it is. It's that which we do with our mouth. And in the case of the Ethiopian, he confessed with his mouth what it was that he believed in his heart as a result of the preaching that Philip did to him about Christ. And then we see that they gladly obeyed the command of Christ to be baptized, like in Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, the verses that we've already read. But we see that this baptism is specifically defined in the scriptures to be a burial. It's in Romans chapter 6 that we notice these words in verse 3 beginning. Did you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. We see this also expressed again over in the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 2. Notice verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So this baptism is in water. We know that again when we look at the conversion of the Ethiopian in Acts 8 and verse 36. He and Philip went down into the water and Philip baptized him. We know what the purpose of baptism is for. It is for the remission of sins. That's what Peter said in Acts 2:38 when he told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. We find that in the conversion of Saul in Acts chapter 22, that Ananias came to him and said, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It's to be saved. That's what Jesus said in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And 1 Peter 3:21 tells us that baptism doth also now save us. So we see then that we need to hear the gospel in order to believe, have faith. We need to repent, turn from our sins. We need with our mouth to confess the faith that we have in our heart, and that is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, for that's what we must believe. We must believe that he is. And then we must be buried with him in baptism, wherein we contact the blood that Jesus shed when he died upon the cross. So we see then that it's not until all these things, when one has done all these things, and it's not until then that the Bible reveals that he is saved, he is a child of God, he is a member of the Lord's church, because the Lord adds those that are saved to the church, Acts 2:47. So is this what you have done? And two, this group that we're talking about in the community is different because they insist on being simply a Christian. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. Every religious group teaches that a person can believe all of the truth, obey every command of God, be a Christian while he lives, and go to heaven when he dies without belonging to any denomination whatsoever. And since this is true, this group of Christians that we're highlighting in our study today sees the unimportance of any and every denomination, and hence we have not joined any of them, nor have we become a part of any of them, but we are just simply Christians. Nothing more, nothing less. Furthermore, since the Bible reveals that it is wrong and it is sinful to divide the people of God into different categories and to be called by different religious names, this group is satisfied with the name that's given in the New Testament. That is the name Christian. We read about that name in Acts 11:26, in Acts 26:28, also in 1 Peter 4:16. And we plead for all believers to be one, even as Christ prayed in his prayer to the Father in John 17:20-21. So we're satisfied to be simply members of the Lord's church and just Christians. Can this be dangerous? It can be anything but safe. If that's what you are, or are you a Christian plus another name as an adjective to facilitate what kind or what type of a Christian you are? Friends, we don't read about any of that in the Scriptures, which is God's Word. So this group occupies a unique and an enviable position indeed. It's a position based upon and produced by the infallible Word of God. And so it is. Let us be glad to be just a part of that that we read about in the New Testament. We see your time is gone. We appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's until then, we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.